Welcome to Body Signals, a Cygnos podcast. I'm your host, Bill Tanser, Chief Data Scientist here at Cygnos. This is Season 1, Episode 8, Fun with Functional Nutrition. On today's podcast, we're joined by our very own Director of Customer Experience and Nutritionist, Jody Geigel. On this episode, we'll discuss the field of functional nutrition. We'll talk about emotional eating, why food shouldn't be considered good and bad, how a holistic view of nutrition could benefit your health, and what factors you should consider when making food choices. Stay tuned for today's fascinating discussion. Welcome to Body Signals. This is your host, Bill Tanser. We're thrilled to have Jody Geigel with us today. Jody is actually our Director of Customer Experience here at Cygnos. She's also the staff nutritionist for us. And today we're going to talk about functional nutrition. I'm going to make an admission here. I actually had to Google that term because I had no idea what functional nutrition was. But it's, I think, something that fits exactly into what we're doing here at Cygnos. So, Jody, welcome.
Thank you, Bill. I am thrilled to be here with you.
And we are thrilled to have you. So, my first question, you've got a long career of working in nutrition. I wondered what drew you to the field of nutrition?
Yeah, absolutely. I don't think it was a specific this instance or this event happened that just led me to this deep love of nutrition. To me, it actually seemed like a seamless progression just based on my overall life. Even when I was a kid, I was very athletic and always involved in doing very physical things and in different team sports. And pairing with that, of course, is the food that you eat and how you fuel your body and how you prepare for games and for competitions. With the exception of as a child, I didn't realize the importance of nutrition, right? It wasn't until I actually hit college. And then, of course, you gain the freshman 15. And even though you're physically doing the same things, your body changes a lot when you start putting foods into it that maybe you didn't have before. And that's, I think, when I started creating a certain awareness around what was going into my body and how it was actually impacting my physical health, my emotional health, my mental health, which then just kind of opened up this whole area of interest for me. And it just tied so well with what I was physically doing in my life that I was like, wow, I love this. I'm very interested in what this is. How can I learn more in order to optimize my own health and my own physical activity, but then of course support others in doing that too.
Excellent. So you've been involved in nutrition for quite a while. At one point, you even had your own nutrition business, correct?
I did. Yes. Yeah. So I was working with clients one-on-one, and it was from a variety of health goals. So whether that was weight loss or I had women that would come to me with different thyroid issues or hormone imbalances, and we would use food and nutrition planning to help optimize whatever health goal that they were looking to address.
And did you have one area of nutrition that you felt was your specialty or your concentration?
I ended up working actually with a lot with athletes and ones that were interested in targeting, whether they were getting ready for a fitness competition or they had hit a plateau with their fitness and so were looking to see what else they could do to elevate things to another level. And we're using, of course, nutrition and food as a tool to do that. And then I also ended up working with just a number of women where that too could be anything from weight loss to just overall energy and lethargy and issues like that, they didn't have a specific disease diagnosis, but they just knew that what they were putting in their body wasn't optimizing how they'd like to feel and function in the world.
Okay, excellent. So when I reached out to you to be a guest on our show, we batted around a couple of topics, and I think we'll actually have you as a returning guest because there are so many things I want to ask you about nutrition.
Excellent.
But for this, yes.
I love questions.
Good. I've got a lot of them. Too many, actually. But when we were kicking around ideas, you said, let's talk about functional nutrition. And you know, one of the great things about working from home is I always have a Google browser live on my desktop and I'm Googling functional nutrition as you say it. Never heard the term. Could you explain a little bit about what functional nutrition is?
Absolutely. So I think a lot of people, when they hear functional nutrition, people lead toward things like, oh, well, is that like functional medicine or is that like integrative nutrition? And the short answer is yes. So it's actually the same concept as those things, which is largely just taking a comprehensive, holistic view of the person and then tailoring a nutrition plan accordingly. So functional nutrition comes from a perspective of it's not about a one diet fits all. It takes into account all types of different lifestyle factors. So your stress, your hormones, your sleep, your genetics, your physical activity. And from there, you can actually then start to personalize the food plan and the nutrition plan to the individual.
Wow. I'm glad you said that. I want to touch on just about every element of what you just said. So we're going to take it piece by piece. But you start off by saying that people sometimes confuse functional nutrition with functional medicine and integrative medicine. It kind of goes along the same trend that we're seeing, I believe, today, which is this concept of treating the whole person, one. Yeah. And secondly, not just treating people when they're in a disease state, but preventing disease. And maybe even beyond preventing disease, working with people to achieve optimal health rather than waiting for something to go wrong. Does that characterization apply to functional nutrition as well?
Yeah, exactly. 100%. So it really is about the whole ecosystem of the person. So it's interesting with nutrition. Like you said, it can actually be used to prevent illness. And in so many cases with chronic illness, it can actually be a tool to help reverse chronic illnesses that are starting to arise in the body, and or for people who are not even in a chronic or a pre-chronic disease state, just knowing that they want to prevent themselves from ever getting there. So how can they start to build overall lifestyle habits? How can they be mindful of what they're putting in their body? How can they be mindful of their sleep and their stress and how all of these systems work together in order to keep an equilibrium and stability of just health and feeling energized and well?
Excellent. So I actually defined it too narrowly. I was just looking at the pre-disease state, the optimal health side. It can apply to both. So if I have pre-diabetes or I have diabetes, I might come to you and get your advice as a nutritionist, as well as if I'm relatively healthy and I just want to optimize my health.
Yes, exactly.
Okay, good. So you said something else that was fascinating, and that is that there is that one trend towards functional medicine, integrative medicine, and now functional nutrition, that broad holistic view of the individual. But then at the same time, there's another trend that's happening, which is this idea that we can treat individuals with precision, that the world used to be a one-size-fits-all in terms of medicine, in terms of nutritional advice. But now we're coming to the point where we have tools where we can understand how people are affected very specifically on an individual level. So does functional nutrition fit into that new trend of precision as well?
It does, actually. So I love that you asked this. So the National Institute of Health Directors, named Dr. Francis Collins, actually published a paper in the Journal of American Medical Association about this. And basically, I'm going to quote him so I don't speak out of turn, but he said, "Precision nutrition is an approach to developing more targeted and effective diet interventions based on an individual's personal characteristics." Right. So basically, what I just said as it relates to functional nutrition, right? You're taking a look at everything you can about the individual, from their weight to their genetics to their lifestyle to their different stress factors, and how all of these things play into what their body is doing with food, reacting to food, what nutritional deficiencies they might have, in order to best understand the individual body and their bio-individual needs, and how you can target very precisely what is going to help them optimize their overall systems and functions best.
Okay. So when someone comes to you as a functional nutritionist, I guess they could come in one of two ways. They could come to you and say, they could have a very food specific need. Like, mm-hmm. I want to lose weight.
Yeah.
Or alternatively, they could say, I just feel run down, or I'm dealing with a lot of stress. It's not something that's necessarily directly food related, But since functional nutrition considers the whole person and everything going on, there's ways you could tell, you could help either case, somebody with that food specific question or maybe with a more, more holistic question.
Yeah. And it's interesting because you, when you said something like, you know, stress or energy, and that's not necessarily food related, but it actually is very directly food related. So, the same way, if we have external factors, let's say, for example, your job or something in your personal life, and that triggers you possibly to go and do things like grab some junk food or to stress snack or something like that, that's kind of a cause and effect, right? That trigger is happening, prompting you to reach for that. However, the reverse is also true in that if you are grabbing something and putting it into your body that causes inflammation or high blood sugar spikes, that can actually impact the different emotions that you feel or the different mental health, right? The food that's going in is actually impacting you on a cellular level. That's going to also impact these other systems of the body. And so that's where then functional nutrition takes a look at all of these things. So where's the cause and effect? What is the root cause of these things? And how can we go about making small changes or in some cases, big changes to help create balance in all of these different systems?
Okay, let me give you a specific example. So I'm going to use myself. I'm an open book. I tell people everything on this show. So I am a cereal snacker. Not that I snack on cereal. I just snack continuously throughout the day.
Can I just clarify? Oh, okay. I didn't know that cereal as in like boxed cereal, like you're a cereal snacker?
No, cereal as in like I could be a cereal with a C, cereal snacker.
Yeah, see, I wasn't sure.
But since wearing Cygnos, I got to tell you, with the exception of oatmeal, I am off any kind of cereal, be it hot or cold, just because of what I see it doing to my glucose levels. So I'm a cereal snacker. What kind of questions would you be asking me if I were talking to you in your capacity as a nutritionist?
First I would ask you what your goal is. So is your goal to no longer be a cereal snacker?
You know, I think if I were to think about it, it would be, I want to achieve optimal fitness right now. With the help of Cygnos, I've gotten down to my ideal body weight, but now I'm working on body composition. So I want to get down to like 16 to 18% body fat percentage. Right. So that's a goal that I have. And I kind of notice sometimes after the fact, after I've actually gone to the kitchen and grabbed something and eaten it, that I've just snacked. And I didn't want to do that, but I find myself doing it time and time again throughout the day.
Yep. This is awesome. I love it. So one, with your goal in mind, then what I would initially start with is asking for detailed food logs from you so I could take a peek at what you're eating and when. And what I really love actually about the Cygnos app is you can actually start to then put tags along with that, right? So then we can start to dial in when you're grabbing these snacks. Is it boredom? Is it hunger? Do you actually need water? What's actually prompting you to do this? Because that then helps me, and it actually helps you as the person with the goal start to understand where these things are happening and possibly why these things are happening so that we can start to create new choices, right? So if you find every afternoon at 2 p.m., you're reaching for a snack because maybe you're fatigued or maybe you're a little bit stressed about something, then we can start to put in place two things, actually. One, what are you snacking on? Can we possibly make a swap that might be a safer choice for you to help hit your goals? And or two, how can we put something in place? So if you know you're going to go grab that snack at 2 o'clock, how about we set a goal for you to actually drink, you know, 16 ounces of water and like take a walk, right?
Yeah.
And come from that perspective of then, okay, how can we make these tiny changes, but they're actually going to be hugely impactful to get you to that overall goal, as well as create awareness around things that you may be doing that are sabotaging it.
Got it. How often do you find yourself getting into the psychological aspects of why someone like myself might snack, you know, getting into things like stress and trying to uncover the actual reason why, other than some sort of physical need I might have? Do you find yourself asking some questions around the person's psychological state?
100%. So I would say probably like 9 times out of 10. And it's interesting because obviously, I'm not a therapist, right? I'm obviously not a mental health professional. However, the foods that we eat and what we select and why is so deeply, deeply attached to different emotional states and even emotional history or memories. So I find it's quite hard to remove one from the other. So with my clients, it's always imperative to then, it's part of functional nutrition actually, right? So it's not just about the food, but let's talk about the whys around this. Let's talk about how this comes about for you so that once you open up that dialogue, then you actually have the space where you can start to make those shifts and those changes that are needed.
Interesting. I wonder if you'd comment on something for me. And I'm not sure how you're going to answer this question, but we had an interview with Thomas DeLauer, one of our last episodes. Uh-huh. And one of the things that he does with his own clients, and he works on the nutrition and physical training side of things. When someone comes to him and wants to lose weight, the first thing that he has that person do is think about how they got to this point, really analyze how they got to this point. And I can understand the value in that, but I also kind of feel like there might be a little bit of danger there too. Like, is that something that's going to maybe cause us to think more negatively if we're focusing on how we got to a specific point? How much of your advice is forward thinking versus, you know, having people do something like think about how they got to a specific point?
So it's interesting. I actually think that looking back is the way that you focus on the forward thinking. And for someone to be honest and be transparent about how they got there may entail a variety of different factors, right? Some that they may be willing to share with you and some that they may not. And quite candidly, some that they may be willing to share with themselves and quite not. So it takes a certain willingness, I think, to be very vulnerable and very honest. And in some cases, some people might not actually know how they got there. It might just be they were raised in a certain environment where certain eating habits were such that they actually just thought that that was normal, or they might even thought that that was healthy. So there too, when you can look back, not from a place of dwelling in why or how you're at this place that you don't want to be, but actually use that as a motivating tool to say, okay, got it. Now I totally understand how and why this happened, or my own accountability. And now I can start to choose differently.
Good. Well, I'm glad you cleared that up. That actually makes me feel better about that specific advice. And I imagine it not only helps the individual who wants to change an eating pattern, but as a nutritionist, it helps you guide that person to making better choices going forward.
It does, because a lot of times people will recognize certain habits that they have that they fully acknowledge they know are not helpful for them or supportive to their goals. But depending on whatever external, personal or professional life factors may be at play, don't feel like they have another option or have just gotten in the habit of then food being their go-to release in some ways, or their go-to whatever it is. And without knowing that information, it's hard to create new habits around it. So when both patient and nutritionist can just understand that, and never coming from a place of judgment, but just from a place of curiosity, right? That's very helpful and very interesting information to know. So now we know when these triggers come up, great, let's talk about them. Let's find a different option for you.
Excellent. Let's shift gears a little bit now. You've been working with us at Cygnos and with all the staff, you included, a lot of us wear the CGM. We're using the Cygnos app on a daily basis. I wonder, from a nutritionist's perspective, how does access to glucose levels, how does that change the way that you tailor your own eating, and also how you provide advice to others that want to either achieve a goal or help with some sort of life circumstance?
Yeah, for sure. So the great part about then the CGM, right, is that it gives you even more details, right? So I'm always about more information. How can we actually take a deeper dive, which is what this allows you to do. So on the topic of, you know, functional nutrition and bio individuality, it doesn't get more detailed than what's actually going on with your glucose levels, right? So on the surface, if a food may appear and or for somebody else be a very safe food and a very healthy food, there could be a variety of reasons why it's not for that particular individual, which is great insight to have. Like, okay, great. That was a wonderful experiment. Now let's go ahead and try this and see if that actually helps keep you more stable or fuels your body better or helps you start to hit your targets in a way that we wouldn't be able to tap into if we weren't seeing those readings.
Glad you just said the word safe food. So when I first started working with Jody, I was talking about good foods and bad foods. And I was immediately called into the principal's office.
You totally were. I was like, shame, shame.
Which seemed kind of funny that she was shaming me for using words that shame people on food. But yeah, you know, I think so many of us that I didn't even think about it when I was writing, I was writing a document at some point. And I was talking about good foods and bad foods. I didn't even think about this label that I was putting on the foods that I was eating as I went through my Cygnus food log.
Yeah.
But it was a real eye opener when you said, you know what, it's not good food, bad foods. We have to think of things in terms of those that are safe and maybe something that might be spiky.
Yeah.
So talk to me a little bit about this whole idea of labeling our food with these judgmental terms like good and bad versus not doing that.
Yeah, absolutely. So that actually hugely taps into that mental health and that emotional health aspect of functional nutrition, right? So when we label something as good or bad, you are inherently associating food that you are putting into your body or that you are selecting with things like shame or guilt, in a lot of cases, secrecy. And of course, these can lead to things like disordered eating, which of course all start to perpetuate this unhealthy cycle around food versus approaching food from a positive place, right? Of I am learning the tools to help me understand what is going to make me feel the best, what is going to help me hit my health goals, what is going to make me feel energized, rather than from a place of, like you just said, judgment, because then we just fall into this trap, I think, mentally and emotionally of I'm being bad, right? I'm a bad person. We end up using our food choices to actually be a reflection of us as a person versus something that's actually going into our body that's either kind of helping optimize all these complex internal systems or not. And so I just think we want to take the pain, I think, out of food, right? Tying in with what you said around, you know, psychology and therapy as it relates to food choices, food does become a tool for emotional outlet, right? And when you start to say good and bad as it relates to food, that ties it into that pretty vicious and negative cycle. So how can we start to think of food in a different context and from a place of health and of enjoyment and awareness around what we're choosing and why, to just kind of turn that on its head.
You know, I'll admit when you first schooled me on that, I was like, this is a bunch of touchy-feely stuff. that cheesecake is still bad and this piece of celery is good. But I just finished reading. I'm an open book, like I said. I'm just going to tell you like it is. But I just finished reading a book on intuitive eating, and that really solidified in my mind what you were saying. I don't know if you've had a chance to look at this whole field of intuitive eating, but a point that it made in this book was that we've really been conditioned by the dieting industry to make those judgmental or to create those judgmental labels on food. And it's not a healthy thing at all. That what it leads to is this condition of scarcity where you deprive yourself of things you've labeled bad. Mm-hmm. And you eat the things that are labeled good and you resent them. And that type of loop kind of sets you up for getting to a point where you just snap, you quit your diet if you're on a diet, and you just start eating all those foods that are labeled bad. And then you feel really guilty about it and you drown your guilt in more foods that are labeled bad. And I was like, you know what? Jody was actually right.
Thank
we
you.
Gotta, you're welcome.
I think the main takeaway from all of this is, Jody, you're right.
Yeah.
No, but you're so true, right? So the diet industry, especially with hard and fast diet plans that get assigned to you, thrive on that kind of thinking, right? It's like, do this. And if you don't do it, then you fail and it's your fault. Like you didn't have strong enough willpower or you're bad or things like that versus not, basically, right? Of like, okay, well, let's figure out what's actually most supportive to you as the individual and places you can see yourself making change. And the irony is when you actually start eating healthier, which is, I guess, kind of a broad term and a loose term, but when you actually start to eat things that are more supportive of your health goals and that are energizing and that are truly nourishing your body very quickly adapts to whatever it is that you're doing to it and giving to it. So you actually start to crave things like health food, right? The same way when people say, like, oh, I'm addicted to chocolate cake. I need my sugar fix every day. And it's like, well, let's look into that and see if there's something else in your overall diet that your body's not getting that certain semblance, possibly of just natural sugars that you need. But also once you start to shift those things, you're like, oh, I could really go for a salad for lunch. And I know that sounds like very strange to some people, but what you do, your body adapts to, right? And suddenly like, ah, oh, this is delicious to me. I'm not eating it just because it's labeled a good food and I know it's going to help me lose weight, but because I actually enjoy eating it and I want to eat it.
Yeah. I've experienced exactly that, that one thing that Cygnus has really helped me with is make this mind-body connection. I think it's that combined with the food logging in the app has caused me to visualize what happens in my body after I eat something and associate the feeling with it. So a food that we will now call spiky, formerly known as bad, made me feel like crap after eating it. And now I'm like solidifying this mind-body connection where I look at that food and like I remember how it made me feel. And as a result, I start craving the things that I could eat that actually made me feel nourished.
Yeah.
Made me feel satisfied in terms of satiety and made my workouts better, allowed me to run faster, do whatever it was, stay up, have more energy. So I'm totally with you there. I think that is that connection, that mind-body connection, and that craving for things that are actually nutritious is a great thing. And it's a great byproduct of what we do.
Yeah, 100%.
So I wanted to talk to you about all of these other factors. I don't know about you, but when I put on my first CGM and started looking at my glucose levels, at the beginning, I thought, well, this is simple as just not eating sugar. It's as simple as not eating really carby meals. I had no idea how many other factors affected my glucose level, like whether or not I got a good night's sleep.
Yeah.
If I got a really bad night's sleep, a bowl of oatmeal that I've now engineered to be a non-spiky bowl of oatmeal will spike me like the old version where I loaded it with things, including added sugar. Where if I have a good night's sleep, I find that my glucose is a lot steadier. If I'm stressed, I find that I'm a lot spikier. Talk to us a little bit about all these other things that, as a functional nutritionist, you see are included in the equation of what affects our glucose levels.
Yeah. Well, and you actually just highlighted the main ones, right? So the sleep that we get night over night is going to impact what our body does the next day, the same way with our overall stress. So something you may eat consistently across the board, or maybe you just had the day before, kept you stable, totally in range, thought it was great. And then these other factors that you to date may not have realized impact another change, right? You have a highly triggering event, or for whatever reason, you slept a few hours instead of a solid 7 or 8 hours. And the next day you just notice your levels are all over the place, which is such a great tie-in to how complex the human body is and how impactful nutrition can be when you're looking at it from this whole ecosystem point of view. I don't know if you're a Netflix fan, Bill, but there's currently a series on there called Human, The World Within, which dives into this very concept. And I love it. I just finished it and it's taps into everything from our digestive system, our immune system, our neurological system, obviously brain function, all these things that have a tendency for some people to live in a silo, right? You think like, this is how this works. rather than realizing these systems, and very specifically, what happens with the food that we're putting into our body and what happens with the sleep and what happens with the stress is all interworking in all of these systems in such an unbelievably beautiful, complex way. But it can also be very simple in that once you start to address these larger places, you can restore balance to all of these things. So once again, if you're nourishing and fueling your body well, if you're focused on whatever it is you can do for stress reduction techniques, if that is an issue for you, or whatever you can do to optimize sleep, and then you immediately see the results the next day as far as, you know, this is what your levels are, or this is how deeply you slept, and you realize, oh man, this one thing that I just did that I didn't think was necessarily connected has impacted these three other massive areas, which I just think is the coolest.
Yeah, it really is. What was the name of that show again?
It's called Human, the World Within.
Human, the World Within. I will put that in our show notes, and I am a big Netflix fan, and I love all the educational content that's out there, so I will definitely watch that. Just to close out, since we have a number of Cygnos members that also listen to this podcast, I wonder if there's any tips, like advice that you give to Cygnos members that are just starting out. What are some of the quick tips they can use to get the most out of Cygnos?
Yeah, absolutely. I think to tie into actually what we just talked about, using it as a tool for curiosity, right? So first of all, approach it with a mindset of this is going to provide me really great insight into what I'm doing and why I'm doing it so that I can start to make the pivots that I want to make in order to hit my health goals. So coming from that, I think, positivity mindset of curiosity and willingness to be transparent and willingness to then take that to elevate you to another level is step one. And then I think as far as the food goes, where you start to notice things that maybe spike you, and it may be things that even on the surface you might think are healthy, is a really great way to be like, oh, that's very interesting information. What are some other things I could kind of experiment with a little bit and see if that's better for my individual body? And of course, there's always just the very, very broad thing of, you know, taking out foods that are highly processed, taking out things that have a lot of added sugar and doing, you know, something of kind of a pantry sweep and just seeing how you can focus your meals and snacks on the most minimally processed foods. And also then check that difference in the Cygnos app and see what happens when you do one thing one day and another a couple days later, and the difference both in the glucose graph as well as just your overall energy and how you feel that day and how you sleep that night, and use that as information that's just really inspiring to keep going in whatever direction your body is telling you to.
Awesome. I couldn't have said it better myself. Thank you, Jody, for joining us on Body Cygnos. Like I said, we look forward to having you back because there are so many other questions I want to ask.
Thank you.
Again, thank you for joining us.
Yes, thank you. It was a pleasure.
Thank you for joining us today on Body Cygnos. If you enjoyed today's episode, please like, review, and subscribe to this podcast. You can follow us on Instagram at Cygnos Health. And if you're interested in becoming a Cygnos member, go to cygnos.com on the web to request early access. Until next time.